a Nacho Radio podcast.
Hey, I'm Dave Heller, the owner of the Quad Cities River Bandits, and here's another of the top reasons to listen to the Top 5 Things podcast. Reason number 22, it's the only place you can talk about the tarantiraffe, that mythical combination of a tarantula and a giraffe. While originally considered horrifying and menacing, the tarantiraffe in time revealed itself to be actually quite docile and friendly. Speaking of docile and friendly mascots, come to see the River Bandits. Meet Rascal, our docile and friendly mascot. He's not quite as friendly as the tarantiraffe, but he is around and available for all home games, and kids love him. And now, enjoy today's podcast. You'll love it.
It's Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. Hey, everybody. Thanks for having us on. Thanks for downloading and subscribing and spreading the word while we're on the topic of baseball mascots. Tonight is opening night for the Treasure Hunters. Treasure Hunters, a robot riding a narwhal. And for some reason, there are bubbles coming out of the robot's mouth. I was talking with Dave Heller today about this. I said,
because they're underwater.
Yes, he kept making that clear. I said, but robots don't breathe.
That's true.
And the look on his face was heartbreak. Like,
There's no respiration going on.
No, a robot doesn't need to breathe. I go, so it's coming out of the river here. He goes, no. It's underwater, don't you see? See the bubbles coming out of the robot's mouth. I said, why would there be bubbles coming out of a robot's mouth? Robots don't have to breathe.
Although I suppose bubbles could come out of a robot if it's just coming out of an empty area.
So it has like a cavity?
Maybe.
Okay.
I suppose.
I mean, I guess if you were to throw a TV in the river, bubbles would come out of it for the air that's in the TV.
Now, when you were speaking with Dave earlier today,
yes,
were you coming up against any hard breaks that he was not that he was not concerned with?
So you heard the show, did you?
I didn't, but yeah. I know how it goes.
Yeah, well, yeah, because it's
we've got a hard break at the top of the hour.
It's a very different thing.
I don't know what that means, yeah. And I don't care.
No, right. I have to be at my day job. I have to be done at 59 minutes and 50 seconds.
Yes.
I have to be done, because there's network news that we go to.
You might have to be done. I don't.
I have other things I want to say. You know, it was good having him on. But while we're talking about mascots, have you seen in Major League Baseball the kerfuffle that's been caused with one team accusing another team of mascot murder?
No.
I like this, because it involves a little bit of a rivalry. It's two teams that really you don't think very much about.
Mm-hmm.
One of the teams is the Tampa Bay Rays.
Right.
And the team that's calling them a bunch of dirty murderers is, of course, our favorite, the Miami Marlins.
The Marlins? Who the hell are the Marlins?
The Marlins having to apologize to the Rays. They got in a Twitter fight.
Mm-hmm.
The cross-state rivals, Miami Marlins and Tampa Bay Rays. And at one point, whoever was running the Marlins account...
Yeah.
Accused the Devil Rays of murdering Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter.
Yeah, that's dirty pool there.
That's what happens
when you turn over a Major League Baseball Facebook or Twitter page to some 21-year-old intern.
The Marlins tweeting to the Rays, quote, "You're literally the animal that killed Steve Irwin. Log off." Now, to be honest, Steve Irwin was killed by a Ray. I mean, they're not wrong. But now,
well,
they,
I mean, Steve Irwin, to some degree, had a hand in his own death.
That's true. The Ray
if
did
he
not,
had stayed away from the Ray, then none of this would have happened. Yeah,
the you giant know, Ray did you not know how carjack
many,
him.
You know how many times I've been stung by a Ray?
How many?
Zero.
Is it zero times? They teach you down in Tampa, there's a way you have to shuffle your feet when you get in the water, or the Rays will get you.
Mm.
You don't want that. So there's a shuffle you have to learn how to do, depending on what time of year it is. Speaking of Australians in trouble...
His daughter got recently married.
I believe that's right, or engaged.
Bindi.
Yes.
Is it Bindi?
Bindi, the jungle girl, is now a grown woman who's going to be marrying somebody, yes.
Doing things.
Yes, jungle things.
Doing jungle things to her man.
Jungle now. Love. I believe it's what they call jungle love.
Uh-huh.
O-E-O-E-O. Hey, Jesse. And now Jerome.
I brought you a case of papaya.
I don't know if you saw this, but I guess Olivia Newton-John's been given months to live.
I didn't get that out of that article.
Okay, well, she's saying, they gave me, they may have no, given I think me, I, she, I, said, she says she doesn't want to know how long she has to live. That's what she said.
Yes.
Which leads me to believe they told her, not long. That's what I got when I read this thing. You think she's going to be okay.
Well, I'm not saying, I mean, I know she's going to die.
Right. Well, I don't know that I'm okay with that.
Well, I'm not saying that I'm
okay. I'd like her to outlive all of us. She was on 60 Minutes there in Australia, and she just got a diagnosis again. The breast cancer's back, and it's stage 4.
Mm-hmm.
And she says,
I thought she already had stage 4 breast cancer.
This is the third time she's dealt with cancer now.
Yeah.
And she says this time she's not focusing on how much time she has left. She says, when you're given a cancer diagnosis or a scary, honest diagnosis, you're suddenly given a possibility of a time limit. If somebody tells you you have 6 months to live, very possibly you will because you believe that. So for me, physiologically, it's better not to have any idea of what they expect.
Tell me. Don't tell me. Tell me. Don't tell me. Yes. Tell me. Don't tell me.
She had it in 1992 and then again in 2013.
Is it bad? Tell me.
How bad
don't
is
tell
it?
Me.
Also, by the way, now that the cancer's returned, she says cannabis is really helping her with the pain. She says, I really believe the cannabis has made a huge difference. If I don't take the drops, I can feel the pain. So I know it's working. So yeah, she's 70 years old, Olivia Newton-John is. But I don't think that's particularly a great diagnosis. She says she doesn't want to know how long she has to live.
Mm-hmm.
And 70. Thoughts and prayers going.
Yeah, that cannabis, it does quite a little number on some of those records of yours, too.
I wouldn't mind getting fired up here once it's legal and turning Xanadu on just to see what happens.
Yeah. Well, it's the song that's constantly going on in your wife's head.
That's true. She likes to ride around the basement in her roller skates.
You, Baker Street.
That's right. I'm glad you understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Shocking story here of something that doctors are having to tell women, and it goes back to Zeke Mack, as almost all of our stories do here on the podcast. Doctors are now warning women, please, whatever you do, do not shove wasp nests in your lady parts.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, it's so sticky.
You want it. Women have been doing this in an attempt to tighten and rejuvenate their vaginas. Women putting crushed wasp eggs and larvae into their vaginas. They believe this ground-up substance will restore the uterine wall after childbirth, heal an episiotomy cut, and also clean out the vagina. They're called oak galls, and they're wasps' nests. And women are shoving them up there, and now doctors are having to say, please stop doing
this. And they're doing this where?
You mean in what part of the world?
Yes,
or
what part of the world? Everywhere. All over the world.
All over. It's a world.
Another track from Xanadu.
It's all over the world. Yeah, did he do any Xanadu when he saw him?
He did that song.
Did he do I'm Alive?
He did not. Mm. He did that's All Over the World.
We're talking about ELO, by the way.
Yes, he did All Over the World on this particular tour. And on the last tour, he did All Over the World and Xanadu.
The doctors say even if there is any truth to the rejuvenation claims of, again, taking a dried up wasp nest and putting
it's
it
not
in
a
your
live one.
Well, no, I shouldn't think so. They say there are so many potential side effects, it's not worth it. There are astringents, which can cause irritation and dry out your lady business, which would lead to a painful increased friction during intercourse, as well as a host of bad infections. Doctors cautioning women that putting strange substances into your vagina is never a good idea, and wasps' nests, they say, are no exception.
Trial and error.
Now, I've never had a vagina. I don't know what it's like to walk around with one of those, and God bless you if you do. I would assume, though, day one, I would know not to put a wasp nest in there.
Hands off.
Right?
Yes.
Like, I know not to put anything in my pee hole. Why is it so hard for these dames? You know what I'm saying? Like, I would never look at a wasp nest and go, but if I crunched that up and rubbed it on my wiener, it would somehow tighten it up.
You are truly a 21st century man.
Just saying. I don't understand why this is something they have to say. This is a recent trend in the beauty world, vaginal rejuvenation.
Talk about a honeycomb hideout.
Yeah. It's not small. No. So, yeah, please, again, doctors cautioning women around the world. Here's a statement from the University of Kentucky, who had to chime in on this. Go Wildcats. They also use these wasp nests to create ink. But more recently, women have been putting powdered oak galls or wasp nests into their vaginas in order to rejuvenate them and make them look younger.
Guessing this is something they got from PBS.
Hello, I'm Helen Mirren. And on today's show, let me ask you this too. Making your vagina look younger, if the rest of the body doesn't look younger, what are you doing? Like, if you got a 90-year-old face but a 12-year-old hoo-ha, that's unsettling for a lot of different reasons.
Don't know that you necessarily want to take it that young.
How much wasp stuff are you putting in there? I don't know. When is enough enough is what I'm asking you. Norman Lear and Jimmy Kimmel are getting back together to do more of those TV shows. The All in the Family Jeffersons was such a hit.
Ah.
They're going to do it again.
Yeah, I didn't see either one of those.
I got to tell you, I watched The All in the Family Jeffersons, mm-hmm. and I watched it with the mindset of, this is going to be so bad.
Yeah, but they nailed it, huh?
It was wonderful.
Huh, well, good for them.
It was absolutely wonderful. I loved every minute of it. So now they're trying to figure out, okay, what do they bring back?
Well, the episode with Sammy Davis Jr., clearly.
So who plays Sammy Davis Jr.? Eddie Murphy in the new...
Tommy Davidson.
Eddie Murphy in the new Getting Coffee with Comedians, the Jerry Seinfeld mm-hmm. show. They go out. Have you ever seen this show, Getting Coffee with Comedians?
I know of it. I've never seen it, because I don't believe they have that on the Cozy.
So he gets Eddie Murphy. They go get coffee, and they mm-hmm. talk about their careers. And it's very interesting to watch.
Although, anyone ever get anything that's not coffee, if they're not a coffee drinker?
Jerry Lewis didn't drink coffee.
What did he have?
What Jerry Lewis had was, I'm not kidding.
Prune juice?
No, I'm not kidding you.
Get me some prunes.
He had at least 3 pounds of bacon. They went out for breakfast, and Jerry's like, I don't drink coffee. And they sat there, and Jerry Lewis had...
Then why do you act like the way you act?
I know. And he must have died like a week after the show, because it just looked like a bunch of bones with Jerry Lewis's voice coming out of it. And the man sat and ate at least a pound of bacon.
Well, he still had his appetite.
Yeah? No. In the Eddie Murphy, though, Jerry Seinfeld, they're talking about their life, and they're driving around, and Eddie Murphy's talking about Sammy Davis Jr.
Uh-oh.
And, oh, this is great. So
with Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, no, Jerry Lewis is a different episode.
Oh.
Jerry Seinfeld does one comic each show.
Yes.
The premise is he gets a sports car, he tells you a little bit about the sports car, he goes to a famous comedian's house, picks them up, they drive somewhere, they talk on the drive, they get coffee, they talk at coffee, and then they talk on the ride home, and that's the show.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So he's talking with Eddie Murphy about Sammy Davis Jr., and Eddie Murphy goes, it was the weirdest thing. All Sammy wanted to talk about was Satan and worshiping the devil. And he's like, yeah, man, I mean, the thing is, like, he's like, I walked up and I'm like, oh, Mr. Davis, it's so great to meet you. And Sammy Davis just goes, you know, the devil's as powerful as God is, man. He's as powerful as God, man. It's all the same thing, man. And then Eddie's like, I realized afterwards that whole always shaking his head and always like that,
yeah.
He was coked out of his mind.
Yeah.
Like that whole thing with the gums like this, man, and talking. He's like,
yeah.
I realized that he was just on cocaine and all he wanted to talk about was Satan.
Well,
Sammy Davis Jr.
You might be, if you're on that much cocaine, you may very well be in touch with the devil.
Yeah, friend of the devil's a friend of mine, right? Yeah, man, you know, the devil's as powerful as God, man. That's all he wanted to talk about with Eddie Murphy.
Well, what did you think he wanted to talk to you about? Golden Child?
You know, that Golden Child, not that great. Anyway, the devil, man, he's as powerful as God, baby. It's crazy stuff. Crazy, crazy stuff. Anyway, this Norman Lear is, what's he, 110 years old?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be doing another one of these specials, a holiday-themed offering later on this year for Christmas, and then another one in the spring. So they did All in the Family, and they did the Jeffersons. One Day at a Time they already brought back, so I don't see why. I don't think they would do that.
Norman Lear, Dick Van Dyke, Carl Reiner,
yeah.
Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
All alive.
All very much alive, yeah.
All about what, 95?
I mean... I'm looking here. Norman Lear's 97.
Okay.
I think Carl Reiner's 98. Because I know he's made it clear that he refuses to die until PPG is gone.
And it's still at 98 has to mug for the camera. It's impossible.
Carl Reiner or Dick
Carl
Van Dyke?
Reiner. Impossible for him not to do it.
Yeah. Well,
If it's in your blood, it's in your
school.
Blood, right?
So do they bring back Maude? Do they bring back Good Times? What do you bring back if you're going to do this? I don't know the answer to that. I'd like to see Maude, but who would you cast as Maude? Who do you cast as Adrian Barbeau's character? Bill Macy's still with us. Does he do a cameo of some sort? Who's the Conrad Bain character in that one? Or Rue McClanahan, if you bring back
Maude. Is Conrad Bain's evil twin still alive?
They're both dead. Both okay, the Bain boys are dead. Yes. Conrad Bain, his evil twin brother.
Katy Perry could be Adrian Barbeau.
Oh, that's not bad.
Very inspired thinking and casting.
That's wonderful casting.
Yes. Oh, it's wonderful.
Oh, that's wonderful. Who would be Maude?
Mark and Mindy, maybe.
Okay, well, Norman Lear didn't do that.
No, he didn't.
But he's if they're going to be bringing...
He's got his tentacles and everything, doesn't he? With my tiny little hat, and I'm wearing it this way.
A little pork pie hat. That's my gimmick.
I'm Norman Lear. Look at my little hat. I think I'm wearing it backwards.
Live in front of a studio audience is what they call it, and they're bringing it back.
Okay, good.
Hey, a little programming note. Some of you may have heard an advertisement for another podcast when you listened to our last couple of podcasts. We are aware of it, and we have removed that ad.
Oh, either way.
Yeah.
But
no. So quite a few of you reached out saying, hey, what's going on here? And I thought, that's news to me. Let me check in that. And then I checked into it, and it's no longer on the show. I said, no, we have opted out from that.
Okay.
So any advertisements you hear on the show are advertisements for businesses you can go to and support, such as.
Well, we certainly don't want to confuse you.
Right.
The Dave and Darren Top 5
Plus,
Things Podcast.
I'm also threatened by the notion of another podcast advertising on our podcast. What if people listen to that and like it more? You're right. That's ridiculous.
It's a silly thing.
I know, right?
The Dave and Darren Top 5 Things Podcast is brought to you by the East Moline Coffee Company, 3537 Archer Drive in East Moline, just north of United Township High School. Enjoy an all-natural fruit smoothie with or without protein. How about a matcha green tea served hot or over ice? Try a super tasty protein puck pack full of fruits and nuts. It's a great way to start the day. Gourmet hot, iced, and frozen beverages, as well as whole bean coffee and loose leaf tea that you can take home with you. Biscotti, breakfast cookies, all natural oatmeal, muffins, and more. The East Moline Coffee Company. Join the loyalty rewards and check them out at eastmocoffee.com. The podcast is also brought to you by our fine patrons on Podbean. Become one today. You'll have access to every podcast we've ever done. And all of our specialty programming. If you'd like to reach out to us, use the Oscars Pub text line 470-23 Nacho. Coming on Saturday, October 12th, it's Oscars Pub's Beer Fest, including a team beer pong tournament, Van's Pizza's bread nugget eating contest, and live music from Milwaukee's own Pat McCurdy. That again is on Saturday, October 12th at Oscars Pub, 5027 Competition Drive, next to the TBK Sports Complex. The podcast originating, as it always does, from the Capriati Sandwich Shop Studio on 53rd Street in Davenport, home of the Quad City's best cheesesteak, but so much more than that, including their chicken cheesesteak.
Did the cheesesteak last night for dinner.
Excellent.
And I thought, because you know they're usually so big, I thought, I'll play my cards right, I'll eat half of the cheesesteak now, and then I'll have the other half of this rather sandwich. I'll have that for lunch tomorrow.
Yes.
And it was so good, I just ate the whole damn thing.
See, my eyes would be on one of the new sandwiches, the chicken parmesan.
So the chicken parm was good, was a good option as we were looking at it. In the end, Jenny went with the Bobby, because that's just what she always gets.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cat ends up eating half of the Bobby. It's the only people food the cat eats. The
something
only
else.
People food.
Is there a specific part that, like...
The turkey. Yeah, she goes nuts
so
for the turkey.
It's not a dressing kitty.
No. She likes the turkey. Now... if I offer her my turkey during Thanksgiving, Kat wants nothing to do with it. It's got to
be
Capriati's. And as soon as she hears the wrapper, you know, it comes in the bread.
Goes
as soon
bonkers.
As she hears it, she comes running to the kitchen like, oh, you got Capriati's. And then she's sat, because the boy's away for a couple of days, and she's sitting in the boy's chair just mowing on turkey all night long. What are you going to do? I understand, too, they have some sort of vegetarian turkey and vegetarian chicken that they've rolled out there at Capriati's.
They do as well.
And the folks there at Capriati's were saying there's quite a few vegetarians that work at Capriati's.
Ah.
And they say it's phenomenal.
There you go.
Well, so if you're a vegetarian or you have one of those in your family, Check that out.
You can try one of their vegetarian sandwiches, including the veggie turkey, the veggie cold turkey, the veggie cheesesteak, and their veggie cheeseburger. Do it today at Capriotti's.
Hi, baby girl.
When you're there, mention Nacho Radio. You'll get a medium sub and only have to pay for the price of a small one.
Number one on our top five things today, Disney with some big announcements. They're going to be rolling out their streaming platform here later on this year, which I'm very excited about because it's going to have a Star Wars TV show.
I like Star Wars.
It's also going to have, I guess, a bundle where you get Hulu and ESPN Plus and all the Disney stuff, and it's going to be like $13 a month, which is pretty damn reasonable.
Did you cut the cord? Or they didn't let you out?
No, I cut the cord. Yeah, we do Netflix and Hulu. That's it.
Okay.
And I'm able to watch everything I want to watch, except Brood, because it's not on Hulu. I haven't been able to watch. Well, that's true. It's true, but I miss being able to watch the show.
You watch the show?
Well, yeah. Somebody has to. You'll never watch it.
I watched it.
Mm-hmm. So they're bringing this up, and later on this fall, the Disney Plus, Disney also announcing that they're going to be rebooting some of their classic movies for this Disney Plus service.
God forbid you'd write something new.
But this is,
how about an original idea? That takes too much time and energy and too much money.
This is what I'm saying. The reboots are...
They probably look at you like what did you just say? You're probably like, it's probably like Johnny Paycheck looking at you. If someone walks into a Disney, wants an original idea.
I was thinking we could tell a story no one's ever heard before.
What'd you just say? What'd you just say?
So they're going to do a reboot of Diary of a Wimpy Kid, which is a bunch of books for the kids.
From 10 years ago.
Yeah. They're doing a reboot of Night at the Museum. That needs to be rebooted.
Again, is that 10 years old?
It doesn't seem old enough to get a reboot, was one of my arguments. Like, these are not that... If you want to reboot something from like the 90s, I get, although I don't get, because the other thing they're going to reboot, a reimagined version of Home Alone.
Mm-hmm.
Home Alone seems like one of those movies you shouldn't be doing a reboot of. It just seems very much, certainly of its time. I mean, now you leave a kid home alone like that, they'll put you in jail. And then it happened a second time, which I...
Well, and the thing is, you know what happens. Unless, of course, you're going to change the ending. If in this one, he doesn't make it out alive.
Now, that would be daring. That would be daring. The movie ends when the Wet Bandits kick in the door and just kill him. Just in cold-blooded murder. And then the last half hour is just them loading the stuff in the van. And then the credits roll. It's a cautionary tale about leaving your kids home alone. That's dark. I like that, Darren.
The thing is, maybe not have so many kids.
That you can't keep track of them on your way to France?
If you've got so many kids you can't keep track of them, then maybe you should use a condom.
I want to tell you this. Over the weekend, we watched Gremlins.
Yes.
A movie I had never seen. Now, we had talked about this a couple of podcasts ago, how in your family, Gremlins is something that gets watched every year.
They attempt to put it on at Christmas.
At Christmas in your family, someone always slides Gremlins in. That movie is, now, understand, I'm 35 years late to this party. The movie came out in 1984. Came out the same weekend as Ghostbusters. I had enough money for like two movies that summer, and Ghostbusters was one of them. So I didn't see Gremlins, and I've seen...
You had to pay for your own movies?
Yes. 1984, I would have been 11 years old that summer. There was no good...
Well, were you working down at the factory?
I can count on one hand the number of times
spend your hard-earned money then on the main event?
That was a birthday party. That was Johnny Lynch's birthday. I didn't pay for the main event. And I didn't pay for Best Friends, the Burt Reynolds Goldie Hawn movie, where I believe that was the summer I watched a topless Goldie Hawn get banged real good in the shower by Burt Reynolds. I remember thinking, I don't know why I like this, but this more of this, please.
I need better friends.
Oh, I don't know. Pretty kick-ass party when I look back on it. My point is, Gremlins is absolutely a Christmas movie. The whole movie's about Christmas. So that doesn't, it's not weird that Gremlins is something that you watch at Christmas. It's certainly more of a Christmas movie than Die Hard, which people try to make a Christmas movie. It's not.
Just like Jaws is a 4th of July movie.
Well, yes, but Gremlins is way more of a Christmas movie. There's a lot about Gremlins that I tried to unpack on Twitter. There's a lot about that movie I don't understand. A lot of it doesn't make any sense to me. The whole thing where he just, like, he's not in high school, but he can go to the high school, and the teacher's there in the lab running tests all night long, and then the teacher gets killed, but then we never address that. And then the gremlins are, like, 3 hours old. They're destroying the town, and somehow they all have perfectly tailored outfits to each individual gremlin. They're all wearing little clothes they're perfect for the gremlins, right?
Well, one of them's a tailor.
There's a scene where Phoebe Cates is a running bar, and the gremlins have taken over the bar, and she keeps serving them beer so that they don't kill her.
Right.
Because they're holding her up at knife point, and they're smoking cigarettes in the bars.
Yeah.
Phoebe Cates is hurting, and they're drinking beer. But you're not supposed to get them wet. But they can drink
get
beer.
You can get their throats wet.
Right. And these little monsters...
Well, these things have already gotten wet.
Okay.
That's the thing.
Right, but when the other guy gets wet, he makes more into monsters, more into gremlins. And then these things are drinking...
Did you have to look away during the microwave scene?
It was pretty cool. It was pretty boss. I liked
that. Pretty brutal.
Yeah, it wasn't the best. That mom really lets the gremlins have it. And she's going around with a butcher knife. Spoilers on this if you haven't seen Gremlins. I really feel like I'm the last person on Earth who's seen Gremlins, so I feel comfortable talking about this. But then when they're drinking beer, these little gremlins, and they're just pounding these mugs of beer, the little gremlins have the liver the size of a pea. And they're drinking what would be like essentially a trash can full of beer.
Oh, they're quite intoxicated.
I just don't know about that movie. But it is, I will say this, Darren, having watched it finally for the first time ever after 35 years.
And their behavior at the movie theater. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've been at the movies where humans have acted worse than them. That's so true. That's...
Two. Especially on Christmas break.
I'm willing to give them a little break on that one. Hey, there's water bears on the moon. I don't know if you saw this. Israeli space concern, some sort of private Israeli space concern. Water bears are these tiny microscopic creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And they took a bunch of freeze-dried water bears, along with human DNA, and they put them in a rocket ship, and then they crashed it on the surface of the moon. Tardigrades, known as water bears, microscopic animals that can survive in almost any environment.
So the idea was to see if they could survive there?
On the moon.
Yeah.
This rocket ship called the Bear Sheet carried thousands of these tardigrades and then crashed on the moon. And people wonder now if these water bears are up there living on
the
moon.
Where does a bear sheet on the moon?
Anywhere it wants, I believe is how the old joke goes. The Israeli spacecraft crashed there in April. And now these water bears, tiny, tiny, tiny little creatures, these tardigrades, they live there.
Taking over the moon.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? There are water bears living on the moon. You know who's happiest to hear this about the water bears living on the moon?
Fuck Orion Outlaw! Holy man! What do you call that?
Have you done any? Do you need to take a break for ads, or you want to go into?
I can.
Three?
Yeah. If you'd like to reach out to the podcast, use the Oscars Pub text line.
Oh yeah, I want to read some texts.
470-20. Do you really have some texts?
Yeah. No, people send us texts all the time.
Oscars Pub text line 470-23 Nacho. Bottoms up, everyone. It's happy hour at Oscars Pub. $2.50 domestic bottles and wells, and $5 glasses of wine Monday through Friday, 2 to 6. Check out Bettendorf's newest pub. It's Oscars Pub, 5027. Competition Drive next to the TBK Sports Complex. The podcast is originating, as it always does, from the Capriati Sandwich Shop Studio on 53rd Street in Davenport and 4640 First Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Extraordinary food for those unwilling to settle. If you are interested in booking the Capriati's food truck for your private party, your place of business, or event, there's a couple ways you can do that. Call 563-284-2331 or email capriatisfoodtruck@gmail.com. When you're at Capriati's, make sure you turn your favorite Capriati sandwich, whatever it might be, into a combo with a chip and a medium drink. Like them on Facebook. They're open 7 days a week. And of course, mention Nacho Radio when you're there, and you will get a medium sub for the price of a small one.
Hey, that's something everyone can enjoy.
All right, a couple of texts here on the Oscars Pub text line.
Oh, joy! Look at it's all the, this fan mail!
Email bag.
563 texting in says, just wondering, since Darren has such an affinity for tacos, if he's ever been to Manny's in either Fulton or Savannah, where they deep fry their tacos.
Well, that's what I think they're doing here with the BK tacos.
So the Taco Bell or the Burger King tacos are deep fried?
It's a deep fried taco. I have not, but I have seen the ad for Manny's. And I suppose the next time I'm up that way, I should stop and try them.
The next time your gin-soaked desire leads you that way?
Well, if I may be going up to catch something at Poopy's, right?
One of the recent podcasts we did, we talked about lifeguard chairs.
Yes, I was thinking about that last night.
Were you?
I was just kind of gazing out at the neighbor's yard, mm-hmm. thinking how boss it would be if I was sitting in a lifeguard
pretty boss.
Chair. Yeah.
Pretty
look,
boss.
Check me out up here.
This is from the 563. It says, hey guys, a lifeguard chair is basically a ladder with a seat on top. Probably not a good idea for Dave.
No.
Now see, this is something Darren started, and it's nonsense. This notion that I'm not allowed on ladders.
Oh, here we go.
Well, I am allowed.
Well, for good reason, though.
What's the reason?
Well, you're it's dangerous. You're perilous situation
I've
for you.
I've never exhibited any balance problems.
You knocked your teeth out.
That was on a scooter.
Yes, and a ladder's a lot taller than a scooter. Look, you couldn't handle a scooter, and a scooter's like right there on the ground.
That's a fair point. Fair point.
Number
Perhaps the fairest of them all.
This story coming to us from America's Wang. Yes, Darren.
Florida.
They get a lot of lightning in Florida. Like, every day there's thunderstorms. You just
they name their team after it.
Yes, exactly. And it literally killed Steve Irwin. Well, that's a different team. But the point is, you deal with thunderstorms all the time. They come in, 20 minutes of lightning, everybody out of the pool, and then it's gone, and then you have a fun time. Lightning hit a septic tank down there in Port Charlotte, and the toilet exploded because of the methane gas that was trapped in the septic system.
That was ignited.
Yes. Yes. Methane gas, which is caused by number two, according to A1 Affordable Plumbing down there in Port Charlotte, Florida. They dealt with the aftermath of this. As you use your bathroom, more and more methane builds up in your septic tank. And then lightning hits the septic tank. It was a perfect source of ignition. Mary Lou Ward, it was her house. She says it was very scary. The explosion was very loud. Couple was still in bed in the morning when they heard the toilet and pipes blow up. In fact, the porcelain of the toilet shattered and then got stuck in the wall. It was like shrapnel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at this. This is good for you all to take a look at here on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
That got blown up real good. So now they're saying in Florida, if there's a thunderstorm, you probably shouldn't be on the toilet. Can you imagine if you had been sitting
on
this?
Well, it sounds to me like when you're in Florida, there's a lot of different protocols that you wouldn't necessarily be aware of. You got to shuffle your feet.
Yes.
And don't be on the toilet during a thunderstorm.
These are good points to have.
Number four.
Unless, of course, you don't have an option.
Right. You know how they have these
I'm going to go it alone.
You know how they have the Star Trek convention and the Star Wars convention? They're now going to start having Sopranos Con. Sopranos getting its own fan convention.
Grow up, get a life.
This is Sopranos Con. We'll have fans celebrating all things Sopranos and a bunch
just
of
a TV show
cast members. This is going to happen at the New Jersey Meadowlands Exposition Center, because of course it is. This is the 20th anniversary of The Sopranos this fall.
That's hard to believe.
20 years ago, The Sopranos
Good
started.
Lord.
Yeah, yeah. Paulie Walnuts will be there, as will Big Pussy and Johnny Sack. Richie Aprile will be there, too. There'll be some of the wise guys there greeting fans, signing autographs, and Sopranos fans will have a chance to meet and grab autographs from their favorite
what
characters.
What about Meadow?
Meadow?
Wasn't there a Meadow?
Yeah, that was the daughter, Jamie Lynn Sigler. I don't see her on the list. I don't see Meadow on the list. Maybe that'll change. They say there'll be food, drink, music, comedy, and show-related businesses that showcase New Jersey's Italian culture, as well as fan art galleries. This is a Tony Soprano I painted. It's $700 if you want it. There will be Q&As, trivia games, and other activities at Sopranos Con.
Mm-hmm.
Is that any more ridiculous than the nerd stuff I'm into? No. Not really.
Five.
Number five!
Now, will there be people dressing up as Tony Soprano? Tony Soprano won't be there because he's quite dead.
I'm dressing up as Big Pussy. I've taken some liberties with this costume. Some people.
I went with a more literal interpretation.
Some people say I look like a big giant moth.
Some have suggested I stuff some crushed up wasp rays inside my costume. I won't do it, though. Finally, a new study suggests that men don't like to recycle because they don't want people thinking that they're homosexual. This is according to a new study that they did out at Penn State. The professor of psychology, Janet Swim, says men are unwilling to perform environmentally friendly tasks.
Well, if they're sensitive to that sort of thing, they're sensitive to it in Happy Valley, of all places.
Yeah, I don't want to recycle because I don't want nobody thinking I'm queer. But I'll look the other way when a coach wants to rape a kid in a shower. Yeah, so this is what they're saying is...
We are Penn State!
What they're saying is, in this new study out of Penn State University, it's called Gender Bending and Gender Conformity, the Social Consequences of Engaging in Feminine and Masculine Pro-Environmental Behaviors.
See, I recycle.
Yeah, of course you do.
For the most part.
Yeah, of course
the only thing that stops me is when Rhonda pulls her car in too close and I can't get to the recycling bin.
Yes.
And then at that point, I'm sorry, this plastic bottle is going in the trash.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm not climbing over the hood of the car.
No. I don't... This is the thing. They did this study and they asked people to... you're doing different environmentally friendly things. Like, for instance... caulking the windows in your house,
not burning tires.
That's environmentally friendly because you're improving the insulation. And you're not wasting when you're keeping your house warmer.
I don't burn mattresses anymore.
Is that more or less feminine or masculine than taking the cans out and recycling them? Now to me,
nice can.
Thank you. Just had them stuffed. The point is, I don't know how you would assign a gender to any of this, and if you're someone who thinks I ain't going to recycle because I don't want them thinking I'm gay. Chances are, and I say this with love, you're probably super gay, right?
Mm.
And there's no, I think it's fantastic. Be as gay as you want to be, as Two Live Crew used to say.
But within reason.
Well, yeah.
You know, within good taste.
But can you imagine like being so insecure that you think, I don't want anyone thinking I recycle. Oh, God, that's how rumors get started. They say there are subtle gender-related consequences when we engage in various pro-environmental behaviors. People avoid certain behaviors because they're...
Burn, baby, burn is what I say.
I'm so straight, I club a baby seal and then I wrap them in aluminum foil and I throw them in the garbage. That's how I roll. And yet I can't get chicks, isn't that crazy? This is in the journal Sex Roles, by the way, and yes, we do subscribe. They say you avoid a behavior if you think that people have a impression of you, and you avoid behaviors if it doesn't match your gender. Again, you and I are on one page here. I don't know how recycling has any gender assigned to it.
Yeah, look at that. You see that picture across the street?
I suppose.
Look at him. Putting that stuff out for the recycle bin. We all know.
Wait a minute. He just slipped and fell. He's down. Oh, and he is using some choice words as he rolls around the street. Merry Christmas to me, I guess.
masculinity and homophobia and the desire to appear heterosexual.
Listen to him screaming.
Contributing to the destruction of planet Earth. Thanks for listening to Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things.
If you'd like to reach out to the podcast, you can do so anytime you'd like. All you have to do is use the Oscars Pub text line, 470-23-NACHO, coming up on Saturday, October 12th.
Text message? That's what fruits do. I ain't doing that.
It's Oscars Pub's Beer Fest, including a team beer pong tournament.
That I like.
Vans Pizza's bread nugget eating contest.
I ain't putting balls in my mouth. It's how rumors get started.
And the live music from Milwaukee's own Pat McCurdy. Again, that is Saturday, October 12th. More details coming very, very soon at Oscars Pub, 5027 Competition Drive, next to the TBK Sports Complex. The podcast has originated, as it always does, from the Capriotti Sandwich Shop Studio on 53rd Street in Davenport. Taste the Capriotti's difference. Only the very best and freshest ingredients guaranteed. Oven roasted in the shop daily. Capriotti's slow roasted homemade turkey and roast beef are hand pulled daily. Enjoy their fresh cut deli meats and cheeses at two locations on 53rd Street in Davenport. James also has a location at 4640 First Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Be sure to download the Loyalty app and get free food. And when you're there, of course, mention Nacho Radio. You'll get a medium sub and only pay for the price of a small one.
And I kind of say this. I usually phone ahead my Capriotti's order.
Mm-hmm.
Use the app for the first time.
Ah.
Could not have been easier.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know everything is exactly the way you want it. But it's a great app. You should absolutely have that on your phone.
Do that today.
Till we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, representing. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Hi, this is Art Linkletter. Thanks for listening.